is Mac DeMarco, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby, Le Chablais.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, it's time for more suds.
Was that a sound effect, Dave?
That's a sound effect. Welcome, everyone, to another sud segment where the sound effects are very real.
Hey, my dad says better out than in.
And where old beers are like old people. Without the proper care, they can be prone to leak at the most inconvenient time. That's ever happened.
I'm wearing, midlife depends.
Yeah.
I'm one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana.
Is that our new sponsor? Midlife depends.
Perfect.
Brought
right?
to you by.
Joining me at the table today is Good Old Boy Kendall.
Hi there.
Hello.
I would say it's great to be here, but I know what season it's coming up on, so I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
He's to suspicious. Be determined.
Sounds delightful.
Reverend Mark, hello, greetings, salutations.
Good to finally be back.
The girls have missed you. And good old boy Mike. Hello.
Grande el jefe.
Of course, Dave. Yes.
Just get that right out of the gate.
Yeah, speaking of blue tick, hello, good old boy Dave.
Hey. Were we speaking of blue tick?
I don't know. Just looking at your shirt.
Oh, well, my eyes are up here, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry. How wrong of me. I'm so sorry.
I'm blinded.
Well, summertime has come again, folks.
Summertime. Mm-hmm. And the living is easy.
And you know what that means.
More el jefe.
It's time for good old boy Dave to rope us into yet another questionable decision.
Sounds delightful.
It's become an annual tradition that during the hottest months of the year, we put aside all the tasty, lovely new craft beer we like to try, and instead, we taste... Well, who knows what it's going to be this time.
Hey, buddy, you want that green, can of stuff from the back cooler or what?
Makes your innards glow.
Yeah. Well, good old boy Dave, go ahead and just tell us about today's stomach ache.
Stomach ache? How dare you? For today's episode, I've curated a flight that is perfect for a hot summer day. We've covered German Radlers and British Shandies. But there's one more tradition of adding fruit to beers. I'm not talking about Mike. For chelada, the chelada.
Hello.
And its crazy cousin, the michelada.
Three snaps.
They only like their owners, though. Oh, that's another thing.
Wow. I don't even know where this is going.
And we're off the rails.
Mike, no. Call the legal team now. Oh, wait, you
is a crazy ante a crazy cousin or a crazy ante?
Oh. I don't know to give you a dry. You know what? I'm going to give you that.
Ah, well, there we go. Yeah. We have established a partial victory.
He stumped me, so I didn't know.
Wow.
Was he funny? It's always hard to tell with him.
Yeah. Flip a coin again.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, created in Mexico, enchilada is simply a light lager with lime juice and a dash of salt. A michelada is almost like a Bloody Mary, but with beer, tomato juice, hot sauce, lime juice, and a beer. Both, if done right, come in a rimmed glass. And if there was a camera here, you could see that we do have some lovely...
They look really good.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Right?
Let's hope they taste...
Great, yes. Great ambiance. Horrible.
So today, to keep this as questionable as possible, because, I mean, that's us, we'll be serving some homemade shalata and michelada along with RTD versions. To avoid any preconceived impressions, though, and also to test the good old boy's palate,
I hated it.
We'll be tasting them all blind and revealing the name and flavor of each one after we discuss and rate it.
Smells like Dave.
There will be no ones or twos today. I'm making a prediction.
I don't know. That sounds like a challenge.
That sounds like, preconceived to me.
That is a challenge. All right. Reverend Mark, please give us the Suds ratings for today.
Be glad to. Today we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds.
They're micheladas, not beers, man.
Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but Montezuma's Revenge.
Ay, ay, ay.
Number two, was that a belch?
Uncle Larry, that was you again.
There's no stopping him.
Number three, what a relief.
That's what B-Boss sounds like.
Number four, a body should really not make that sound.
I'm not going to tell you why to make that sound.
Wow.
And number five, number cinco, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
I didn't realize Reverend Mark was by.
Poppy, he make that big sound like that.
Well, thank you, Reverend Mark. That was exceptional.
That's what they told me when I was little.
Sounds delightful.
Wow. You're exceptional.
Oh,
he's a special lad.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He's come long, so far.
How long did you get to ride on the short bus?
You know, whenever an airplane come by, I'd run out and go, "Epane, Epane." And my mom thought that was so sweet, but I was like 15.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Keep on moving there.
Okay.
Okay, roadblock.
Just a slight roadblock. We're good. Okay. So, good old boy Dave.
Okay. So, let's drink the baseline chilada. So, just the one in the rim glass.
Okay.
Just
so, is the lime a garnish, or are we supposed to squeeze that in?
It's already got lime juice in. If I feel like you need a little.
I got a traveler here, you know, in my, you know.
Got a floater?
I got a floater. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I don't think it's a Mexican bug either, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshing?
Mm-hmm.
It is refreshing.
Now, this is made with Modelo Especial.
Okay.
Oh, and yes, fresh lime juice.
Senor, this is
good. Squeezed it with my own little hands, but...
I mean, it's similar to a margarita.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of similar flavors.
Same basic
premise. More beer. Yeah, I definitely don't have that little bit of tequila bite.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that, to me, is distinguishing of having a good michelada or chilada is how fresh either the lime juice mm-hmm. or the tomato juice is.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I am betting that the RTDs, my preconceived notion, will suck compared to those that would be made with fresh ingredients.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's worth a shot. Okay, so on the basis of this homemade, would you drink it?
Well, even though Dave made it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I washed my hands.
There's that. I mean, and what would we rate it?
Oh, a solid three, man.
Mm. All right.
Three. Okay. Three it is.
Okay. So now... we're going to go to
A.
So can A.
Can A.
Is
something.
Okay.
And you guys just taste it, and then let's talk about it, and then we'll
rate it.
Hmm.
So the color is very similar to the homemade.
Mm-hmm. This is just a pale straw color. The first thing that jumps out to me is the salt. This is, has an awful lot of salinity about it. Mm. It just is all over the front edge.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
And there's some lime on the nose, but the lime is not prominent like it is in a fresh one.
Yeah. And so if you were thinking that, well, that's how the glass was rimmed, this is definitely a product that you do not want to put it in a rimmed glass.
It would be plenty of salt.
No. It would be salt stacked on top of salt. Yeah. So this is like, wow, I'm in the kayak and I don't want to, you know, rim my glasses while I'm floating down, you know.
It's almost got like a goza kind of
that's actually pretty good
for
Dave.
Me because there's a little bit of lime, which gives you a little bit of
it
acidity.
Has that acidulated malt component to it. Yeah.
And then it's got the little bit of salinity.
It reminds me, honestly, of Uinta's lime pilsner they put out.
Yeah, that's good as well, Kendall.
Minus the salinity. That was such a good beer. Lime works so well in a light lager.
What do you think, Reverend Mark?
Oh, yeah, it does.
With the salt in it, it also has a certain minerality to it, a mineral aspect. So I'm thinking of Perrier somewhat, lime Perrier.
Yeah.
But with a little bit of, tiny little bit of malt to cover that over. But I think it's the salt that's doing that, giving that mineral.
Did you get the next one?
I don't know.
Roadblock.
Oh, Roadblock. Oh.
Sorry.
Okay. What do you think about it, Juliana?
So when you take the fresh one, right, you're getting a taste of the salt before you get into the drink. It's like with this one, the salt is already on top, and it's like a thick layer of salt that you have to get through. It's like it's already been dumped in there for you. And it makes me appreciate fresh lime juice a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think the fresh one would be much, much better on a hot day, too.
However, desperate times, desperate measures. And this one actually isn't bad.
And like Mike said, if you're looking for something you can put, it's in a can, you can take anywhere, take to a picnic, float down the river, whatever. This is a good, solid option.
So this is called, this is from Modelo. It's the Chelada Limón y Salt.
So and this we are the going basic lime
and
salt.
We're going to rate this a 3.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I think compared to the fresh one that we had, I didn't think that it was better or worse, you know, and I think our ratings, you know, align that way.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, I like
more to come after a brief interlude.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a summer of questionable decisions, and good old boy Dave, what is today's?
We are drinking Cheladas. Enchiladas, the Mexican Radler.
Sure.
We should have had enchiladas, too.
We don't have any little dogs here. Okay, what do you call those? Like, chihuahua, right?
Reverend Mark? Chihuahua, yeah.
Reverend Mark, you got a chihuahua story.
Yeah.
Is it about a dog, or were you in Chihuahua, Mexico?
Both.
Okay.
No, it's about a family that I knew, and this was, gosh, this was like 30 years ago, but you know, they were like real persnickety about dog breeding, and they wanted like a purebred chihuahua, which is, you know, like called a Mexican
That'd
hairless.
Be like the most interesting small talk at any gathering. So what do you do? Well, I breed chihuahuas. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Man,
did you like lose something on career day? Right. were you the kid that they went, man, he's ugly. He's going to be the dog breeder of chihuahuas.
It is a very special breed. Some say they actually come from the fox rather than the wolf, but that's another story entirely.
The weasel.
But anyway, this family that I knew went down to Mexico to find a Mexican hairless breeder, you know.
And
they had to find the breeder first, and then they found the dog. But they asked around, and they were pointed in a direction. It looked a little bit
sketchy,
dicey. Yep, yeah. But they made it there, and it was just a newborn. So, you know, tiny little pup. So they brought it back home, and like, you know, 6 months later, it's still this tiny little pup, and they know that. You know, it's supposed to be a small dog, but so they eventually took it to the vet, and they said, you know, we went down to Mexico.
Where's the hair on this dog?
We got this hairless. We know they're the tiniest of this particular breed, but I mean, it's not grown an inch in 6 months.
Super grande pico chihuahua.
It's muy poquito, you know, and so the vet kind of looked it over, and he goes. He says, well, he says, what we got here is a rat.
No.
Yeah.
They've had a rat for 6 months, yeah. And they thought it was a dog.
How is that possible?
Oh. Did it have a, because chihuahuas don't have long tails.
That is hilarious.
Right?
Not really.
Wow. Yeah. Like, how do you not know a friggin' rat? You know, I mean, chihuahuas look like
this. I think this answers my own question. If you knew that this was the guy on career day that was going to have to make a bad choice, this is what happens. You know,
Reverend Mark didn't mention in the story is that these people were all horrible alcoholics.
I bet you they had the michelada. Like, what about time,
like
man?
Every time?
Yeah. So wow. Man.
So did they keep the rat, or
did you feed them?
Oh yeah. By that time they bonded. You know. Yeah. I mean, so.
Would you feed it chelada or michelada? You know. Yeah. He likes a bowl, right?
Oh, you see? Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think we need to go to the next.
Keep going.
That was. Okay.
Oh wow.
Can
we tell stories like
you
Reverend
know,
Mark?
That's just missing a T-shirt. Yeah. I breed hairless rats. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
That one.
This one. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah, the pink
I picked
one.
Up the
this
wrong
one.
One.
Yeah. Okay.
That one.
Yeah, we're doing the pink one.
Yeah, so the next one is sort of pink hue.
You guys, the first two suckered you guys in. You're like, oh, this is going to be pretty good.
You know, I need to move this to a different geography.
I think we just killed Mike.
Oh, he's dialing in his
like
southern
this.
Voice.
Over here.
Yeah.
Not the same as the last one.
Bandao, yes.
You know, this tastes like. Like those strawberries that are way too ripe.
Like a or just bad strawberry shortcake, you know. It's been
or rotten.
Blended it with a Zima.
Bad strawberry candy. Too much salt.
And it really makes the salt.
It's like
come way out.
So not much lime in it, but it's just kind of a mess.
And it's got a little heat to it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a really, really old Jolly Rancher.
That was in your bong for...
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I'd almost rather drink a strawberry Jolly Rancher and a Zima than this.
This is something that I would probably give to my ugliest cousin.
You know? Guys remember earlier when I said there'd be no ones or twos?
Yeah, this is definitely like a minus three.
That might have changed.
That's what I know. I was saying there. It's not even a one.
You know, I think if you put some Cool Whip on top of this, it would still suck.
Yeah.
Would it be better if it had less salt?
Yes. No, it would still suck. This strawberry
would still
is
suck.
So
I'm
overwhelming. It is way too sweet.
Yeah.
Nothing in balance, and it tastes like, you know, you got out of one of those cola machines that has like 42 different flavors, and somebody hit
the
wrong button.
It is sweet. If you take the salt away, it'd probably seem cloying.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
But then there's like... It's like there's degrees, right? The first degree is the salt that hits you. Then you're getting this super sweet strawberry. But then there's this heat at the end that comes out of nowhere that you're like, is this animal, vegetable,
it's
or mineral?
Like
I'm confused.
How could I make this not enjoyable in three separate ways?
Yeah.
Exactly, Dave. I like that. You can fail on every single thing that you were trying to hit. And
too hot,
and
too salty, too sweet.
This is what it would be like in the glass, you know, for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, what this is,
I would feed that to a hairless rat, man.
This is another Modelo. And this is fresa picante. So hot strawberry.
Yeah. No.
That used to be Mike's stripper name.
Oh, they used chilies.
No.
Weren't you called hot strawberry back in high school, Mike?
Yeah. That's a disappointment because the lemon and salt one was pretty good.
Right. It's like when you start getting a little too cocky, I think, with this one.
Yeah, they ruined some Modelo with that.
I like that. You know, it could be my next non de plume name. You know,
hot Dave, strawberry.
Hot strawberry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a stage name.
Stage number four. Hot strawberry.
Okay, but I'm going to ask a dumb question. Have you ever eaten a meal where strawberries were in the meal and they were spicy strawberry or like peppery strawberries? Okay. I mean,
maybe I had one dish that had like hot honey on it with strawberries, but that's
the extent of it.
Yeah. That's about as close as I can remember.
I don't think it's inherently a bad idea to have strawberries with maybe a little chili or something spicy, but. But then you dump a bunch of salt on it. I don't know, man.
Yeah, like a strawberry salsa is good. Okay. You know, because it gives a little acid as well as sweet, you know. Okay. But this is way over the line.
Sure. And I've had like balsamic strawberries, which are really neat. But I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Let's go back.
We didn't hit the button.
Then. Oh, we're one. Yeah, it's a one. Okay.
Man, it smells like a hairless lat.
Oh,
a hairless rat. Oh.
Okay, let's move on to something that is more in line with the color.
Well,
that
the color's back. So
yeah, the color's.
I like that.
A blondish thing. Yes.
It's better than the last
one. That is super sweet. Holy crap.
Wow.
I haven't even tasted it, I'm getting a ton of pineapple.
It's more like a cream ale that's been flavored up.
Yeah. This is just like sipping from a can of Dole.
Pineapple juice?
Pineapple juice.
With some salt in it?
Yep.
A lot of salt.
I mean, I understand that salt enhances sweet flavors, but...
No. I would give this to my second ugliest cousin.
Yep.
Not as bad as the strawberry.
Not as bad as the strawberry, but it's still
not
bad.
Good.
And still that independently failing on every front, you know, like it's too much salt, it's too much sugar.
I think inherently it's too much pineapple. The pineapple can balance out the sugar or the salt a little bit better than the strawberry did, but, or maybe just the pineapple flavor is better than the strawberry flavor.
I think even watered down, this would suck.
Yeah.
If this was a hairless rat,
Kendall working on the,
it would still not be
working
good,
on the cuvée.
Not yet.
See, that's a brave moment if you're headed down that path, Kendall.
Oh, yeah, I think I should.
Oh, wow.
He's got to, yeah.
There's a short-form video moment,
Okay.
All right, Juliana, what are you thinking about this one?
Slightly better, but still offensive. The only thing I could say about this is I think it would go well with some... Like fajitas or
sangria
or something. Or something like that.
Salsa? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only... Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you were buying these in a store, you should look at the clerk and go, which one of these has been sitting here the longest? And don't buy that one.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to rate this one now and...
Yeah, let's go. Oh, wow.
Okay. We're going to rate this a 2, and this one is also from Modelo, and this is the Pina Picante. So, again, it has the pineapple and chili peppers. So they really enjoy chili peppers with their fruit.
Well, you got it. I mean, it's not a... You know, it's not chilada if it ain't got a little zing to it.
I've never seen Kendall make that face, you know, before. I mean, it was like it's so much pain.
It's weird.
Yeah.
All right, Kendall. Let's have story time with Kendall.
All right. Well, let me tell you about a Michigan woman who was found living inside a grocery store sign with a computer, desk, and coffee maker.
Cool.
Was she drinking one of these beverages?
Possibly.
Probably many.
So a Michigan woman was found living inside a sign on top of a grocery store that local police says makes you scratch your head. The unidentified 34-year-old woman, who police said was homeless, well, not technically, she was living in a sign.
A sign, that's a home.
Had been living in the grocery store sign for a year, and inside she had a desk, a coffee maker, a computer, and a printer. She was discovered on April 23rd when contractors...
So you're saying she had good internet service there?
I'm guessing, yeah.
The store's probably got good Wi-Fi, dude. Don't you gotta get the password?
So, she was discovered on April 23rd when contractors at the store noticed someone was running an extension cord to the roof where there's a plug-in.
Gotta have the coffee, man.
And it says, it's a story that makes you scratch your head. Just somebody living up in a sign, says Midland Police Officer Brennan Warren. There was some flooring that was laid down, a mini desk, her clothing, a Keurig coffee maker, a printer, and a computer. All the things you would have at home. Well, makes sense. It was her home.
Except a bathroom and a shower. And
yeah, I was thinking about that, too. The sign is about 5 feet wide and has a door, so not a lot of square footage. But he says, I honestly don't know how she's getting up there. She didn't indicate that either. There was no sign of a ladder. Brennan explained that the 5 foot wide, 8 foot high sign is accessible from the roof of the store and has a door.
So it's a UFO story, man, right?
Yeah. Somehow.
They put her up in the beam.
I think that they should, you know, like housing can be hard to find.
Yeah. So they gave her some information on where she could find some services in the area, and she took off from there. The woman told the police that she had been living in the sign for a year and working elsewhere. She's not facing any charges since she agreed to vacate the sign. And the grocery store company said that their staff was trying to be compassionate and professional in responding to the woman, making sure she was safe. And in this time where there's not a lot of affordable housing. So weird story, but kind of sad too.
So they kicked her out and then they cleaned the place and then rented it back out.
Probably for twice of what she was
paying. Twice of what she was paying, right, correct, yeah.
And it's really sad that she had to drink that kind of coffee.
Yeah, that's the worst part. You know, she was probably living off the chalada, man.
But yeah, living in a sign. Well, not just the bathroom, but it's Michigan. You know, it gets cold there in the winter.
That's what I was thinking about, too.
Like, this is like 100-some miles north of Detroit.
I bet you she had a hairless pet rat.
But maybe, like, does the sign heat up? I mean...
I don't know. Like, maybe all the light bulbs keep it warm in there.
She was married to the rat breeder, man.
All the heat from the store. I don't know. But yeah. It can't be really warm living in a sign.
I'm sorry. And like, but you got to admit, though, it's kind of ingenious that she came up with that idea.
She put flowers on top.
Like, how did she even get up there in the first place to figure out there's a door?
Right. You know? Yeah. That's what's the odd part. How did she keep getting up on top of the grocery store without anybody knowing for a year?
I'll say this. Right? I think that woman has great instincts on survival. And that's the kind of person, if stuff went down, the zombie apocalypse happens, you'd want her on your side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Finding shelter.
No, that's.
I would want to have one of these geladas in my hand, man.
Yeah. All right, we'll get this next one in your hand.
Okay, so thank you for that story.
All right, we're going off color again.
Off color. So not as pink as before, but slightly pinky, peachy something.
Ooh, what is that?
It's just as bad as the other three, man.
Okay, the aroma on this is weird.
Ooh. Yeah, peach is the dominant thing going on here. Almost like a peach watermelon.
That's even a little cherry.
I don't know.
But that might be some conflicting. The peach watermelon, that's a good call, too. Yeah.
Who would have thought peach and watermelon
together? I actually
think
this one would be okay if it wasn't so salty.
I told Dave that...
When
he was talking about this show, I said, you know, this sounds like we've done this show already. It was the Zima and Jolly Rancher show. And after having four of these products, you could put them side by side of the Zima and Jolly Ranchers, and you would not notice the difference.
Not much. Yeah. Except for the salt.
I was going to say, unless you dump a bunch of
salt. This one is more Jolly Rancher than any so far for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, very yep. much so. Yeah, the sugars are incredibly simple and pronounced and make you make that noise. So,
and these
just like
all,
JB's face there, she was like, oh, man.
These all come in those really big cans.
Yeah, that's
so like you're drinking a bunch of this.
I think if you wanted
they need to
have
put a bloat warning on there. Like
a really short baby shower, serve this.